grind for the love of the game, weathering the injury storm as Flying J freezes. We grind for the love of the game, sifting through trash looking for gold. It must be silly season.
This is a classic time of year, you know, everybody, we look forward to this, and in a really perverse way, you get to put all of this like useless knowledge that you stored up all off season and all these like ninth and 15th roster guys until finally that hopefully you can pull out and get one amazing week of during a playoff run.
It's a fun time for a junkie, but it's also a maddening time. But it's, yeah, I really had a good time last year going through the silly season stuff. My feeling this season is it's kind of a weaker silly season. What was your take just going through the different teams that should be churning out these, you know, under the radar, diamond in the rough players compared to when we did this last year?
We were texting about this a little off air too, and had the same, came to the same conclusion. It's so weird because from the beginning of the season, you just had a few teams that just jumped out to such a giant lead in the loser column. They started the season as silly season, and then you had so many other teams that are really going for it. So there's less of these teams that are jockeying positions that are all of a sudden going to be doing this late season swoon or late season tank. There's a couple of them, but really, there's going to be less surprises, I suspect, this season than we've seen in years past. I totally agree with you.
Not only is there more teams going for it in Natron, like more teams still competing for a playoff or play-in berth, some of the teams at the bottom, just as I went through it, they have a more solidified rotation at the moment than last year's silly season. Like, you just go through the names, and the two teams that jump out that fit that bill are the Spurs and the Pistons. I feel like last year, you know, we had the Sandro Mamukelashvili's, you know, Sohan. Mamukelashvili. He's a real player. He's actually on the team still, but yeah, no.
Is he really? Okay, I was curious.
He is. He's kind of like their Steve Scheffler. Shout out 90 Sonics. He's the towel waving guy. But yeah, the Pistons are the other team. The Pistons are obviously trash, but they're not. You know, Fontecchio was a good pickup. I wouldn't call him a silly season hero. He's just kind of a, you know, a guy that's rostered in most leagues at this point that you can have or you don't have to. He's not a hero. He's a helper. Mm-hmm. He's a silly season helper.
Yeah. Right.
You got teams like that, the Spurs and the Pistons, that just don't have as many guys that are being unearthed. And then you have a team like the Grizzlies, which is just almost impossible to navigate on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, the perceived weakness of this draft, I think, is perhaps having an effect too, where teams are kind of like, we're not going to crash this season to move up from 8 to 6.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the year for it. There's not really the value for it. Where last season, you know, there's so many guys that teams really wanted to get for it. And really, I mean, it was mainly like if you could get a 1% better chance of getting Wemby, you took that chance. And
yes. And
I don't know if, in fact, I kind of almost wonder if this is a year like the Anthony Bennett draft where teams almost don't want that first overall pick because they don't want that pressure of drafting a number one overall pick that's not all that great. Kind of the Valanciunas was the same way.
I don't know if Anthony Bennett's ever been uttered on this podcast or any fantasy podcast since his rookie season, but that's a great point because you have teams like the Houston Rockets who can't catch. They're not going to catch the 10th seed, but they're competing as if they can. I think they just know that they have a young core they want to develop, and there's just not that enticing guy at the top that has them deciding that they're gonna do silly stuff.
Well, let's start right there. Let's start by jumping in with the Rockets. That's a good one. The other wrinkle in there too, I mean, the Rockets are a prime example. There's a lot of these teams that would be silly season prime contenders, but like the Rockets, don't own their first round pick necessarily, right, or have a lot of things kind of tied up. I mean, at the moment, the West standings is starting to get solidified. They're 5 games back of Golden State for the 10th seed, but they owe their first round pick to Oklahoma City, top 4 protected. So I kind of suspect that they're probably going to be kind of grinding out wins all the way until they're mathematically eliminated. Which, side note, I think there's some really good value in against the spread bets with the Rockets at this point, just because, you know, they're they actually are trying a lot harder than most other teams with this with their records at this point. I don't know if you've been betting on the Rockets. I know this is a little
No,
aside.
I love it. I've dabbled, but I haven't thought of it as a pattern. I know that at home they're, much more competitive, and sometimes the lines don't fully reflect it. But I think that their perception is that they are one of these bottom rung teams, when in actuality they're not competing like it, and the lines haven't caught up. That's really smart. Licky bets, little Licky bets corner. I like it.
Yeah, before we even get into any fantasy stuff, I guess my biggest question to you that I have in regards to the Rockets is, assumably they're going to get eliminated, or it's just going to be so far beyond the chance of catching the 10th seed that they are going to start shutting guys down. But what I wonder is, do you think that there is a chance that we see Jalen Green either benched or shut down this season?
Isn't that the question? Yeah, well, it's funny because I had jotted down for my Rocket section, if the Rockets ever admit they were out of the play-in, at the time, I jotted this note a few days ago, they were 6 games out of 10th. You mentioned their fifth. Then you would have to have Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore at the top of this list. And they are, I got an itchy finger anytime when anytime something changes in the rotation. And I was ready for the bottom to fall out on Jalen Green. There was speculation that coming out of the All-Star break, he might not be in the starting lineup, that maybe he had fallen out of favor with that. And I don't think Udoka likes him. But at this point, it's just speculation. I think until you see the change, and if all of a sudden, he gets 20 minutes, 18 minutes in a game, and Thompson benefits, grab him. Whitmore, I mean, in a deeper league especially, I mean, I think I would have him in, and then Cam Whitmore. But it's just hard to tell. I mean, if it happens, be ready to pounce.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I gotta give you credit for you. We both pounced on Thompson early. You had him even renamed your team Thompson Twins. You had both Thompson Twins on it, and then unfortunately, you had to drop the other one, and then had to rename the team, which is always an ironic thing when you have to remove your namesake from the team. It's like you're kind of like the Miami Heat losing their crypto sponsor.
Was pretty. I just renamed it to Thompson Twin, singular.
Not the same ring to it. Yeah, it was. I was curious with when it comes to Amen Thompson. I wanted to take a look at it, and as longtime listeners know, that we're neither one of us are a big fan of per 36 numbers. But I wanted to take a look just for this exercise to see what the difference really was between Amen and Ausar's per 36s. Just because Ausar's obviously gotten a lot of run, and Amen's, kind of had some injuries and a little bit deeper team,
This is
but it
nice.
was
This is nice.
shockingly almost identical.
Damn, really? Okay.
They both averaged exactly 49% field goal percentage. Amen averaged one more point per game, and Ausar averaged a hair more three pointers, which is ironic because it was exactly their draft profile, but almost identical. So, Ausar has been averaging 25 minutes a game for Detroit. He's been getting a lot of run, and his value is it's in the eye of the beholder, I think. The rankings have him at 130 average for the season. I think he's better than that. I don't think it's
Oh.
fully reflected, but
Agreed.
so it's just kind of was thinking, what happens if a man gets 30, 32 minutes a night?
I pick up this desk without my hands, especially, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Houston just has more talent than Detroit around them. So you would just imagine that you're going to see you would like to hope that you get Ausar's defensive profile with a little bit more spacing and offensive freedom on them.
Sure.
I would suspect that we are going to see, and I'm curious to hear your take. I think that we will see a top 100 stretch this fantasy playoff from Amen Thompson, but I don't think. I don't think it's high enough to preemptively add him, but I think it's the moment that it happens,
Yeah.
you pick him up at that point. I don't know, are you more bullish there or?
100% agree, and I'll put it this way. So, as you mentioned, I had both Thompson twins, and I dropped them in as I'm pushing for the playoffs and weathering some injuries and just trying to compete. And if it was week six, I would not have made that move. I would have held and waited. Maybe by now, I would have made the drop, but I would have been much more hesitant. So it's really dependent. I mean, if you're first in the standings, go ahead and hold. If he's the worst player on your team, there's just no reason, unless if there's somebody you got to grab. I mean, right now he's a luxury stash, and somebody who, if something changes in the rotation, don't hesitate.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. If you have a bye, then that's a great time for to hold luxury stashes.
Agreed.
And as far as Cam Whitmore goes, his minutes have been ticking up post All-Star break. He's up to 19 minutes a game. How where are you? Were you more bullish on him or on Amen?
100% Amen Thompson, just because his game is made for nine cat. Cam Whitmore is, and he's a great scorer. And at this point, that's kind of what he's bringing, his scoring related stats. And so, yeah, it's not even close, night and day.
Yeah, I felt the same way too. And you know, sometimes as you dig into like these and that's part of the reason I hate these per 36 numbers, because I don't think they I think the extrapolation just isn't accurate. You know, like what a guy can do in these little 5 minute bursts isn't what they're going to be doing in when they get 10 minute bursts or 12 minute bursts, or
That's
you know, extended run.
the key. Take a note on that if you're wondering. That's the key to it, because you're capturing these little bursts of somebody's production rather than what it would be like if they were, having longer runs on the court. And that is a really important point.
That all being said, I was surprised to see, I mean, that he's averaging post All-Star break 12 and 4.5 with 1.2 stocks. And he's actually been really slumpy as far as his shooting goes. So he's averaging 21 points, 21% from the 3-point line. So if he happens to get 32 minutes a night, I think he's a must pick up player, because I think that it's very realistic he's going to be averaging north of 20 points a game with seven boards while shooting threes. So I think that's the Rockets are, to me, are team number one on the intrigue list for silly season potentials.
Yeah, that would take, I think, Van Vliet's a prime candidate. Either shutting down Jalen Green because you're sick and tired of Jalen Green, or the veteran player who signed the contract understanding it's time to develop.
Yeah, my boy, Dylan Brooks.
Or, yes, or jettison him home because he's just not needed right now. Yeah, he's really not. What team is piquing your interest to hit next?
I bet let's move over to the Jazz. Say in the West, they're kind of right in that same spot. It's interesting because they're almost in an identical, they're in a similar situation with the Rockets, where they also their first round pick to Oklahoma City. But
God.
they're, I know, but their draft obligations are a little bit more complicated. So they their pick is top 10 protected. They're currently sitting with the 11th worst record. So they could very, very easily get into that spot where they get to keep their pick. Now the Jazz, I think the Jazz are a very proud team, and I think they're going to go about tanking in a really kind of a proud way.
More meticulous. It's a slow, they're doing it piece by piece.
Right. They're not going to lose to the Wizards. Yeah. And so I think in some ways it's smart too, because they're tanking while also realizing they're playing the long game, where if they can showcase some veteran for a trade over the offseason, there's also value in that. But as far as the kind of some of these younger guys they have on their team, is there anybody that stood out to you right away?
Well, I was really excited about Taylor Hendricks, and I was all fired up for his big start against the Wizards. And I hammered. I posted on Twitter that I thought his points and rebounds line at 17.5 was criminally low. His points line was 9.5, so just a little segue to some betting stuff. But I was all in on him, and he hadn't missed a shot in the first half, and he was well on his way to just crushing those lines. And then he just doesn't play another minute. I think it was a toe injury. And then you had the Keontae George thing where he was questionable coming in with illness, and they're like, oh no, he's ready to go, he's ready to fire up. And then he comes in, plays a couple minutes, and just doesn't play again. Depending on your format, because there's leagues where you have a games cap and you can only play so many guys, and rather than having weekly moves, you only have so many games that you get for the year. That would be a brutal way to get one of your last games as you're in towards the playoffs, or if it was your first round. So that was brutal, but I'm still highly interested in these guys moving forward.
Yeah, same. Those are the two guys that I thought were the most interesting as well. I mean, Taylor Hendricks has been really quietly the number 104th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. And that was including the game he went out injured too. So he's like, as you mentioned, he's out at least a week. We'll see what that means with that toe injury. But post All-Star break, he's been averaging 25 minutes a night, giving you strong rebounding, scoring, and kind of shooting high volume threes, almost four attempts per game at a decent clip. So I think if he comes back, that's he's another really intriguing guy to take a look at.
Yeah, I know you were in on him in our rookie pod. That was somebody that you identified early. You know who's a little more under the radar on the Jazz, and I didn't have any Jazz guys on my list, but just coming through it. Last season, we got some run from Luka Šamanić. And he
Luka Šamanić, yes.
And he's flashing, and he can put up stats. He really is a nice per-minute producer.
Yeah, I had him written down too. I mean, he wasn't that long ago. It was only 3 years ago. He's a first round pick, 19th overall. He's still 24 years old.
He's great on 2K. He's developing nicely.
Is he really? Okay. Yeah, kind of a prime Davis Bertan or better than that.
More like a super poor man's Pedro Stojakovic.
Oh, he's very good on that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's gotten two spot starts this week. And so I think you're right to kind of keep an eye on him. I think he's not going to necessarily be explosive, but anytime that you can pair that size, as I've said over and over again, I love pairing the rebounding and threes combination, and he has that. So it's, I think they have some reason to see, at 24 years old, is this a player that's part of our long-term rotation?
Yeah.
Or is this not?
He's an interesting player. So yeah, the Jazz are the Lauri Markkanen shutdown is real, and it's happening slowly here. But it's a good point that they're a proud franchise. But yeah, they're pretty high on my silly season intrigue, and looking forward to seeing how that develops.
Yeah. Then the next team I had on here to talk about is the Toronto Raptors, moving over to the East Coast.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a confusing team. I mean, they just had unfortunate season ending injuries, Scotty Barnes, as well as Jakob Poeltl. So it's weird. I mean, they're currently 4.5 games out of 10th place. So they have totally landed and succeeded in their quest of being exactly a no man's land, which is apparently what they look like they've been trying to do the last couple of years. But they also owe their first round pick as well. So they own their first round pick as part of that questionable Jakob Poeltl trade with San Antonio. So it's top six protected.
And then they make the Kelly Olynyk trade. Why are they collecting like 20s, like late 20s, like centers? Very confused.
The moment they lean into one direction, they have to zig back the other way. It's just they just want to keep all the other general managers on their toes or something.
I'm sure they can flip Olynyk at some point for similar to what they got him for. The contract was fine, but it just it's strange. Just bottom out.
So, right. Everything is leaning that direction. You got Scotty Barnes, that's fine. Tear it down to the studs around him.
Love the Quickly trade. Quickly is, I mean, the guy that even his most optimist supporter thought he could be. I think, I mean, he's just killing it. Like, he's clearly a starting level point guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they'll prove us all wrong by kind of threading that needle a little bit, but you know, and I think it would go a long way if they were able to keep their first round pick, and they're currently in seventh worst odds. So they have a really good shot. So I think the priority add there is a guy that I'm kicking myself because I missed him by just a matter of minutes, is the lunch lady, Kelly Olynyk. I mean, we're not that far away. I think it was the 2021 season where Kelly Olynyk was the silly season hero of the entire year.
The season of Houston.
Where he went off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be a shock to see that happen again this year. But I was curious, is there anybody else? Grady Dick, anybody?
Like, I think it's time. I don't know. Do you think it's time to pick up Dick, or do we leave Dick hanging on the wire? The role has increased in size, but the results have been quite messy night to night. So I'm a little confused on Dick.
It's tough. It's Toronto, so it's cold up there too. So it's not the biggest pickup.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I think it's he's had the opportunity. The role has been given to him, and the results have been lackluster night to night, to where I'm not really worried about missing out on him. When he's been picked up, he's usually found his way back to the waiver wire and all the leagues I'm in. He's interesting, and I think he could be a situational schedule streamer, but I can't imagine he'll be a hero. He might be a helper.
Helper, yeah. Yeah, as much as I would love to be on Abaji, you're right, he's not good.
Yeah, he's just not a good player. I've watched him and he has no like when I'm watching him, he just doesn't, he has horrible instincts. He's very slow. He's slow to react. I don't feel like he's really participating in the game as much as kind of just doing some moves. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not a fan of his game, unfortunately.
Yeah, same. So I don't know if there's any guys out there that are sub 20% roster that really could pop. I think really the most likely one is you see a bump in value to Gary Trent. You see a bump of value to Kelly Olynyk, and that's kind of it.
And it's wheels up for, you know, anybody who was quick to grab quickly. You're happy about that now.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers to you. Or RJ Barrett for that.
Yeah.
Pull the raw into the north.
Okay, yeah, the Raptors are one of those teams, again, you'd think there'd be more meat on the bone, but it's you know, you got to really kind of look for the meat, and you can find Dick. Yeah, we'll leave that there. You know, the team I'm kind of wanting to jump into, and that we're over to the East, I don't know how much time you spent on them, is the Charlotte Hornets.
Just a little bit. I mean, we obviously did a deep dive on them. Their situation changed a little bit, but, with you know, the trades they made weren't shocking. The players they got back. At the time, looks like they weren't going to be much, but they've kind of looked pretty solid. I mean, obviously Trey Mann has been kind of solidified himself as a starting point guard, and he's the 91st ranked player over the last month, and is looking pretty good. The curious one is Micić.
Yes, yes,
and
that's why.
What do you think about Micić?
I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. So yeah, so I'll. I will give my diatribe and we'll kind of talk about it. So Vasily Micić, somebody who I was unaware of, a point guard now for the Hornets, 14% rostered on Yahoo. He is a 30-year-old Serbian second-year player. He was the 52nd pick to the Sixers in 2016, but he did not come over to the NBA. His draft rights were traded to the Zombies of Oklahoma City as a part of the Al Horford salary dump in 2020. He finally debuted last year. He played 30 games over in Zombieland, very sparse minutes, couldn't really get a read. Then he's thrown into this Gordon Hayward deal, so he makes his way over to Charlotte. And in his very first game in a Hornets uniform, he has 18 points and 9 dimes on February 10th against the Grizzlies. He kind of reminds me, as far as an out-of-nowhere point guard from Europe or Eastern Europe. Who was that Nuggets point guard, that little dude that showed up?
Campari? No.
Yes, Campazzo.
Campazzo.
And he was like he really helped out in similar ways that it looks like this 30-year-old second-year player, Micić, is going to help out. So he's had 3 games in the month of March, 2 of them without Cody Martin. So this 30-year-old, who's probably a chain smoker, I mean, let's be honest, like he's been over in Europe for a long time, but he's killing it, and he's probably still on your waiver wire. So these are the numbers. He's giving you 13.6 points. And when I say chain smoker, I don't mean that like DJ, that like electronic band that like plays the big shows. You know what I mean? Like he smokes cigs.
Like not vape pen.
No, like he's roasting like non-filtered Lucky Strikes and drinking espresso, like at halftime. But so what you're getting out of Micić, though, besides the chain smoking, is 13.6 points, 5.7 dimes, 2.7 rebounds, just under a triple, 2 steals, 3.3 turnovers. If you're worried about that, 46% from the field, 90% from the free throw line on 3.7 attempts. So this for me is who I've identified as the classic potential silly season hero. Small caveat, I did a schedule breakdown. So next week through week 23, so the default Yahoo playoffs, and some custom leagues have those playoffs moved up. I'm in a playoff first round matchup in a league now. But starting next week, he has 4 games. And then after that, he has 2 games. So for a lot of people, that's the first week of the playoffs. So that's not fun if he's a marginal player. But then it's 4 games each week after that. So three out of the next 4 weeks, besides the two gamer, this guy has four games. So if you need what he does, there's not a lot of guys floating around sub 20% owned that are going to give you two steals and six dimes. Obviously, it's early returns, but when you go through their roster, I'm not really sure. And him and Mann can coexist just fine. Trey Mann was, I believe, ruled out for his next game. He's been popping up on the injury report. I actually think it slid him into an IL plus, so I think it's just questionable for tomorrow. But just keep an eye on him, and in a deeper league, or if you need what he does, I'd go ahead and grab him now.
That seems really like strong analysis there. He's talk about coming out of nowhere too. Right. That's the funnest thing about it is, you know, I think the one thing you didn't talk about on his background and maybe you left it out on purpose. So you were going to leave that nugget for me to bring up, and I appreciate that. You didn't talk about his sister being a professional Serbian snowboarder.
Yeah. You know,
great lineage there.
It's just such a distracting topic that I thought if I brought it up, I would actually not be able to get back to fantasy basketball.
Oh, right. We dive into our fantasy snowboarding podcast.
That's so gross. Don't do it. I don't recommend fantasy snowboarding leagues.
Yeah, no, but Meech has been really great. He's a little up and down. I've kind of noticed that. And so like there, I think that's one of those things is one of those guys that, you know, like where Mann is that really high floor, a little bit lower ceiling. Meech is just going to be all over the board. So I think it depends on where you're at in your matchup, I think, and what your risk tolerance is there.
True. Yeah, it's tantalizing to have a guy show up out of nowhere. He's putting up, you know, his last game, he had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, perfect free throws. So he's probably worth the gamble. But yeah, it's also hard to get super excited to be like, oh my God, I've unearthed this 30-year-old second year point guard for the Hornets. Like it's hard to really be like, oh my goodness, like, you know, I got this guy. But
you could see there's got to be a ceiling.
Exactly.
Like at some place.
Yeah, there's got to be a ceiling someplace. Exactly. But yeah, we don't have to go too deep into the Hornets, you know, kind of combing through real quick. One guy who might be able to help you out as a streamer that I thought had died, but apparently is still cashing them checks, is the old Davis Bertans. He's back and he's slinging that laser look. The Laughing Laser is back slinging that thing.
Man, I was watching the Hornets, whatever it was, a couple of nights ago, and he was getting crunch time minutes, and they were calling up plays for him at the end. They were down, they were down three, and they called up the play, and it was Bertans only. Like, okay. Bertans, you get the ball, you shoot. There's no option B.
That's interesting. Yeah, they only played eight guys in their last game. Davis Bertans got 25 minutes. So interesting. Not a silly season hero, but Grant Williams again. Just too inconsistent. I know he's been your boy in the past. I don't know where you're at on him now. He had a nice little run when he came over to Charlotte, but looks like he settled back into being Grant Williams.
Yeah. It was a shock when he got there. And now you're right. It's dulled off and it's quite boring. I think there's not enough upside there to grab.
I'm glad you finally seen how boring Grant Williams is.
Better real life player.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think he's too liked. He's kind of a weird dude.
Yeah, nice judge. Yeah, it's tough. So, I mean, like moving on from the Hornets, the rest of those teams that are in that really bottom tier of teams that are kind of locked into that top five draft position, I just don't know how much meat on the bone there is, but you know, kind of as you were saying in the beginning, you know, I'm wondering if you have anybody that you had kind of highlighted on Detroit or Washington or Memphis, for instance, or San Antonio for that matter.
Like the short answer is no.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that, again, I think with Memphis, and I wanted to mention this because even when you're trying to take Jordan Goodwin, for instance, a guy who is a good per minute producer, he can put up nice 9 cat lines. Jordan Goodwin's on a 2-way contract. So just in the past week, there's been 2 times where he was announced as active. You get a little blurb. You're like, oh, I'd like to stream that in. And then he never checks into the game. And that's kind of all you need to know. I mean, it's just night to night with the Grizzlies roster and their rotations. It's so unpredictable. Guys are on, in and out of the lineup, on and off the injury report, and none of them are quite worth the trouble Obviously, Vince Williams Jr. is a season-long hold. I love JJ Jackson, but his inefficiency at this point is just not worth holding. And you got guys that pop up, John Conchar. He can give you a fun little line here and there. Luke Kennard when he's healthy, but he's doubtful all the time, and it's doubtful that you'll be able to predict. Especially if you have limited moves per week, and like in our league of record, you think you're going to waste one of your three moves on one of these Grizzlies guys as you try to make the playoffs. So, you know what I mean?
It's too risky. And like you said, almost all of them are just agon. They're gonna give 10 guys 20 minutes a night or 19 minutes a night, and that's just not enough to do any damage with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for instance, Lamar Stevens, he has an interesting fantasy game, but he had 15 minutes the other night. And I just, it's just not worth it. So there are some guys that if there was more predictability, I'd be interested in, and I just don't think that's going to happen. So there was one name on the Spurs I know I text you about, and that's Malachi Branham. He seems to be the one guy that's kind of rising in the rotation, getting more minutes in the second half of the season. He's more of a scorer. He doesn't have a super interesting nine cat game, but he scores with some efficiency. He gets you some rebounds and some assists, and he can get you some threes. I think in a points league format, he's more interesting. But does Malachi Branham do anything for you or anyone else on the Spurs?
Yeah, Malachi Branham was the one guy that I kind of highlighted, or was thinking that he could get a little bit more run. The Spurs were clearly putting out the signals over the offseason that they were really high on him. They made that known all through summer league that he was, they weren't saying untouchable, but they really were hyping him up quite a bit, whether that was for his benefit or if it was just truly that was their position. And so far, he hasn't really made a huge impact, or had kind of the minutes run. I know he's had a bit of an injury bug a lot, kind of since he's come into the NBA out of Ohio State. But if he gets the minutes, I think it's really realistic. I mean, his profile looks this way, and his usage. I wonder if this fantasy playoffs, if we could be seeing the San Antonio Spurs version of Vince Williams. He probably would be replacing Keldon Johnson, and actually he has a very Keldon Johnson-esque game to him. Light on defense, good on scoring, decent on rebounds. I mean, maybe if he really pops, I mean, I think the best comp that I could think of would be like an Austin Rivers type profile.
As a
That'd
complete
be a
ceiling,
yeah, I think that would be kind of where his ceilings could be if they were like, hey, let's give Malachi Branham 35 minutes tonight.
Yeah, I like that. And it's a good comparison. As far as Keldon Johnson, that we've come to know and expect from him, it's just, that popcorn numbers game. And on nights where he doesn't produce, he's kind of not worth having. But yeah, I'm a little more interested in Branham this year than I was last year.
Yeah, he looks a little bit more ready, and just their overall depth. I think that the guys that they have been wanting to see what they've, I think the Spurs, I would say, have done this. They have done a great job of just seeing what they've gotten. They've been wanting to see Sochan as point guard. They're, just be damned about wins and losses. They're going to do that for 25 games. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see if they just go, well, let's just see what Brandon's like if we gave him a 30% usage.
Okay, enough Spurs talk. Let's stop beating around the bush, Natron Klain. Let's talk about your Portland Trailblazers.
Portland Trailblazers.
Portland Trailblazers, which let's give them a shout out. The month of February, they were successful, I'll say, in not winning any games, and that's hard to do. And then they come out in the month of March, and I'll be honest, with Anfernee Simons, looking like the Anfernee Simons we hope to see that all season this week, they've been looking competitive, and they've been, I've been grabbing some of their spreads, and it's been fun to watch. So I did want to get into the Blazers, and I thought we could kind of look at their roster and say, okay, what meat do we have on the bone from each individual guy? Before we did that, though, Natron Klain, there's one guy for me that's kind of rising up above the rest, and I wanted to kind of talk about him. He's a 27-year-old rookie born in Wat, Sudan, which is now South Sudan, and that is Duop Reith. I know I mentioned him before. He is a center, 30% rostered on Yahoo. His breakdown as far as schedule weeks 20 through 23, you're getting 4-4-3-4. I like that.
Nice.
He went undrafted in 2018, coming out of LSU. His statistical profile in college is similar to what we're seeing now. So, what do I like about Duop Reath? I like that there's a predictability to what you're getting in the games that Aiden sits. He has, this is my comp for him, he has a sort of 90s NBA legend Terry Mills profile to his game. You know, he's putting up similar stats, and I went on Terry Mills Basketball Reference and I looked at some of his. I don't know if you, the listener, remember Terry Mills. He's kind of famous for having the chubby cheeks and just launching threes. He's a less cool Sam Perkins, honestly, and not as good, but like a similar stretch five before that was a charm type guy. So in the 17 games without dominating the season, Durop Reith has given you 13.6 points, six boards, 1.3 dimes. 1.8 triples, not really, that's the key. The out of position threes, just under a steal and a block. They're at 0.8 and 0.9. 51% field goals. The free throws are at 64%. It's only on two attempts. But a funny little nugget I found is he randomly shoots 77% from the line on 1.2 attempts when DeAndre Ayton does play. So here's the caveat, and then I kind of want to know what you think. It's whether DeAndre Ayton comes back. You know, he's missed the last four games with this hand sprain. He missed some time with a knee injury earlier in the season. But we know what the Blazers, what they're headed for. And despite their franchise center dominating, maybe being ready to play at some point, Natron Kling, how many of the Blazers' remaining 21 games from we're recording this the night of March 7th, do you think that DeAndre Ayton plays?
That's a great question there. You know, it's hard. He hasn't ingratiated himself to the team whatsoever. All the, you know, the whispers that come out of it are you just hear late to meetings, bad attitude, bad efforts. You know, it's all been pretty negative at this point. You know, they're really, it's tough. They're 2.5 games outside of moving up to the fourth pick, which is who Charlotte owns. And Charlotte kind of went on that little mini hot streak with their defense and the hot shooting of their two new point guard additions. So I think Portland is kind of would like to move up to that fourth spot and kind of give themselves a couple more balls, ping pong balls there. I think they're fine if Ayton doesn't sit. I think they're fine either way because they clearly are losing with him and they're clearly losing without him. I think that they're just going to bring him along slowly, and I think they're fine with either way. But Reith is a great guy to have on your roster. I'm glad that you highlighted him because especially the last couple of weeks, his blocks have been coming on so strong. He's averaging 26 minutes a night without Aiden. So you're getting a true starter there. It's not necessarily a platoon by any means. And so he's not going to blow the doors off of anything. He's not going to average 25 points or anything like that. But blocks are, there's so many weeks where having three blocks is the difference in flipping a category. And he can give you that.
I was able to pick him up in a league where I'm playing Thunder Dan Palo of RotoWire up 7-2. And
Nice.
just a little bump that he's given my team. A little tip too. I always look for this sort of thing. A player like Reith, who obviously directly benefits from DeAndre Ayton, if you have Ayton, I definitely give more of a bump to Reith. I think that's obvious. But if you're in a playoff matchup or line up to play someone that has Ayton, grab Reith. Yeah, if he's available, I like to try to do a strategic block if there's a one for one trade off and your opponent has them. It always feels good. I can give you an advantage.
Right, because that's true. That's a good point. You've been talking about that in a group chat we're in, where there's a matchup against somebody, and you see this like you, it's a swing in value times two. I mean,
Yeah.
if that because they're losing one set of value and you're gaining one set of value on that.
100%. Yeah, the example is we have a match in our league, really close playoff races. Tyrese Maxey's out. The guy who's playing, the guy who has Tyrese Maxey has the Tsunami Poppy bump this week because Oubre is killing it with usage. Then you have things like Jalen Johnson going down, and you if you have if you're playing against the guy who has DeJounte Murray, you know he already's got the no trade bump. So you have these swings that occur, and these sort of things are what determine close matchups a lot of time when you go back and look at it, or at least if you're ingesting the information emotionally, then it really feels that way. But I think there's some truth to it.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about, I mean, the Kelly Oubre one, having his roster too, is that you get to click on his picture a little bit more often, and that kind of gives you an emotional bump on top of that. You know, just seeing that sexy head of hair.
All right, Nate, so you're not getting out of this. I'm going to give you some quick hitters on some of the Blazers guys here. What do you think about Delonto Banton? I kind of have a couple lines on him, but what's been your hit on Banton?
He's looked so much better than I remembered him looking in Toronto. When he played for the Raptors, you know, it was a fun story because he grew up in Toronto and he played for the Raptors. And so they kind of have that homecoming feel to things. And the dude is huge. He's a true point guard. He's 6'8", but he's not one of these like kind of a slender 6'8". I mean, he looks like a power forward out there.
He's beefy.
And so I always thought that it was a nice swing by the Raptors. I mean, like, why not like take a gamble on that size combination? But I thought he just didn't really have it as an NBA player. But he's looked really solid for Portland, actually. And the numbers have been decent too. I mean, he's averaging 13-6-3 as a starter. So I think that he is a very he's an interesting guy to keep your eye on because Portland has a bunch of these guards, but as we've seen, you know, I mean, they have Brogdon, they have Anfernee, they have Scoot, but there's certainly been point, they have Shaedon Sharpe as well. And there's been certainly points where all four of those guys are down and they're playing guys that were on two-way contracts that are no longer on the team. And they were fine giving those guys, you know, Skylar Mays, for instance, had that run where he was must own for 2 weeks. And then he got dropped, you know. So I think if the Blazers kind of move into that tank mode again, which they clearly have shown a willingness to be pretty blazing at doing that, I think that you could see some big minutes from Delonto Banton, and he would definitely be a guy worth rostering at that point.
That was really informative. My biggest concern with Banton is the percentages. On the season, he's shooting 42% from the field and 63% from the free throw line, which is a nine-cat killer when you're adding a guy like that, depending on your build, if you weren't expecting to bring it on. So just something to consider. But in a points league, you don't have to worry about any of that. And this guy's popcorn points, rebounds, assist numbers are jumping off the page. And maybe as it gets more run and settles in, the efficiency will improve a little bit. I don't, you know, so it's something to keep an eye on. But right now, the percentages are kind of the only thing holding him back from being like a true silly season hero candidate. But he's definitely helping you now. And you don't know how he's going to develop as the season goes along.
Yeah, that's it. I totally agree with all this.
You have anything nice to say about my boy, Kentucky legend Ashton Higgins?
No.
Right, I won't tell you, K-Bay, that you said that.
I just don't have anything to say on that.
He likes to play defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, speaking of defense, I mean, there is, you know, I mean, I think the guy who we're actually seeing a lot of run out of, and I think has gone from a strictly desperation Sunday pickup to maybe a desperation Friday pickup, which, you know, if your power rankings that Matisse Thybulle his minutes have bumped up. He's got a steal in 13 straight games at this point. So you can lock in. I mean, it's nice on those categories, especially when you're like, you get to a Saturday and you're like, I don't even care if this guy scores 30 points and gets 27 rebounds. It won't change what I'm doing. I'm here for steals and I'm here for whatever the other category is. Picking up a guy like Tease is, I mean, his steals have just been off the chart at this point. I mean, he's averaging 3.5 the last 2 weeks, 3 the last month. So he's been, and sometimes he gets them in bunches too. So it's a great move if you're getting to the end of there. You can at a minimum count on one, which is sometimes all you want.
That was kind of in his prime Philly Day is exactly the best way to describe him. He was just an auto pickup to get steals into your lineup. And he was better at times than that, but that was kind of his floor in Philly. It was like you knew you could depend on that. And it's been a bummer to lose that. So it's nice to see your boy Tease, as apparently we're calling him now. I don't know if that's how you have him in your phone contacts. Call Tease. Hey, man, you got to get some more minutes, dude. I need steals this week.
You see, he's hitting over a three a game too. It's not a good looking shot, but
no,
it's going in.
Yeah, no, that's nice. Good shout out. I know you're not a big fan of his game, and he's been all over the shop. But any hope for Jabari Walker?
Yeah, he's been looking way more composed, I would say, these last month or so. I've actually been quite impressed by his level of toughness. You know, you can tell that I don't think Chauncey Billups is a good coach. In fact, I think he's a bad coach.
Get rid of
but,
him.
But I think that he's kind of has done a good job with Jabari, in that he's gotten into his ear and he's kind of told him, your pathway to minutes is going to be being the toughest, hardest working guy out there. And that's what we've kind of seen from him, is that he's kind of given up on being a finesse guy and just a banger that's getting rebounds. And so I think that's a good thing for his long-term growth. I don't know if that's a great thing for a fantasy profile.
Yeah, that's a good point. As a player, he's seen some growth, but is he going to help us this year? Yeah. He had a run there where he was pretty useful. I mean, he's really a points and boards guy. But,
yeah.
If that's what you're looking for, and he's getting minutes, he can help you. You've really converted me over. You know I'm a big Tumani Kamara fan. And some of his lines, they're tantalizing. Just the 27th of February against the Heat, just looking at Basketball Reference, he had a nice little game of 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. He didn't have any stocks, but we know that's what he does. I want to ask you for Silly Season. I know he's kind of been in and out of the lineup a little bit. I think it's a temporary thing, is it not? It's kind of a short term. He's okay.
Yeah, he'll be back. I think he's just been sick, honestly, the COVID or whatever.
What's your hope for this guy in the next 3 years from a fantasy standpoint? Because it looks like he's good enough. He plays really hard. I think he can be, you know, a 32-minute-a-night guy, don't you? I mean, I just think that's his future.
Yeah. I mean, maybe McDaniels for a fantasy. One of those guys that is kind of on the fringes of like long-term ownership. I think I just don't see the scoring profile being there, but I think that if you're talking about we've seen a lot of these like decent 3-and-D guys. I mean, I think, and sometimes it takes those guys a while to kind of add that second element to their game, or either that or turn their 3-point efficiency from 34% up to that higher level, like, you know, like a Grayson Allen has done, or a KCP has been able to pull off, you know, kind of just take that step all the way up. So do I expect it to happen this year or next year, or maybe the year after? I don't know about that, but I am bullish on his long-term potential. I mean, I think he's clearly shown that he impacts winning. And so I think he's going to be playing a lot of minutes. And I think that he's going to start racking up stocks.
He'll occasionally put the ball on the floor and make a move and look pretty fluid. And it's so exciting. Like, he flashes that occasionally in his game. And I'm like, this guy could have an offensive component that we're only seeing in little spurts.
He doesn't look like a rookie, which is which I feel like is the best thing you can say about him.
No, fair enough.
The guy that does look like a rookie, and I do have a question for you. So if Scoot Henderson, he's owned in about half of the leagues out there. He's obviously been out with a little bit of an injury. He's coming back maybe this weekend. If he's out there, are you rolling the dice, or are you waiting and seeing?
For me, he's an injury stash if I don't need the spots. Pretty clear drop if I need the spot. You know, if you have, I don't know, Karl Anthony Towns and Trey Young in your injury spots, then you probably can't stash Scoot. But if you have, you know, in the league where there's three, you know, traditional spots and you got an IL plus to play with as well, it just depends on how many spots you have. If he's stashable, you certainly don't need to. But he's nice to have in your aisle spot. But yeah, I wouldn't be like bending over backwards to figure it out if you're trying to win games.
Yeah, that seems totally fair. We haven't seen he hasn't proven anything at this point, so it's hard to bank on it.
No doubt. There's one guy I wanted to mention that isn't needing to be mentioned, but I was interested in him, and that's the Hawks' second year point guard, Kobe Bufkin.
Okay.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing when Trey went down what that kid could do. He's splashed a little bit. He's somebody I was interested in coming out of the draft, but he's set to miss at least 10 days with a toe injury. That was as of today, March 7th. So just someone to keep an eye on. If things get real silly in Atlanta, I think he can put up some
What
stats.
about Bruno? You keeping an eye on Bruno at all, or no?
Bruno Fernando is such a stiff man. I was watching the Hawks game the other day, and he is just a traditional stiff big. I guess he's like it's a poor man, but like a poor man's Nick Richards. If you're really needing those stats, then he was getting the minutes there, but yeah, I'm not too excited about Bruno Fernando.
Okay, we won't talk about Bruno.
Yeah, he's fine, but any other teams that we should comb through and just see if there's anything that we could find?
You know, it's tough because I mean, like we were talking about the traditional definition. It's just, you know, teams that have been eliminated, and these seem like the teams that are there at this point. The Nets were the only team that I felt like we didn't touch on. And the roster's so messy. I didn't really feel I didn't have a high degree of confidence in any of and if any of them, and they seem like they play a lot of guys. Was there anybody in the Nets that stood out to you? Because they're at the moment the only team that we haven't talked about that's out of the playoffs.
There are two guys I want to talk about. Number one's a quick hitter. It's De'Ron Sharp, the center, the backup center there. I really do like his game. I think if Nick Claxton ends up missing time, and there's been some scuttlebutt about might the Nets end up shutting him down. Run, don't walk to pick him up. I think he right now is a nice situational streamer in deeper leagues, or leagues with, plentiful moves that you can just kind of grab a dude. I had him for a few days and he gave me some big man stats and it was chill. But I think if he stepped into a starting role, he'd be somebody you'd want to have.
He was
But
somebody that saw a little bit of a bump in ownership on Sunday night, just with
yeah.
the Nets playing five games. And then, of course, he got 0 minutes last night.
Funny that you mentioned the five games. So I have a new award I want to hand out, and that's just called the Right Place, Right Time Silly Season Hero of the Week Award. And
Hey.
hey, he's sponsored by no one.
Oh, somebody out there who wants to sponsor this this award, which will probably never come back up again in another segment. Give us a holler. We're over at projectingthejump@gmail.com.
Shout out to Ernie's Neato Stat of the Night for the sponsored by No One soundbite there. But so of course, the right time, right place, silly season hero of the week award has to go to my boy Dennis Schroeder of the Brooklyn Nets here. So I wanted to talk about him for this reason. Quickly give you the numbers. He's 76% rostered at this point on Yahoo. It's his 10th NBA season. It's his age 30 season, weeks 20 through 23. He plays three games, four, four. That's 3-3, fofo. So, man, dude, like this old German is currently making the most of that 5-game week that you mentioned. He came over in the deadline deal from the Raptors. He put up a 15-point, 12 assists game out of the gate. And then he promptly stunk up the joint for 2 straight weeks. It made him hard to roster. I dropped him in one league. It caused him to hit the waiver wire a lot. He's historically a high volume, low efficiency player, and it can be hard to predict when he's going to go off. So, as you might know, Ben Simmons, big consequence in fantasy, of course, being done for the year. So, I'm so sorry to Ben Simmons owners. I saw him dropped by one of the people in our league, and I was like, why is Ben Simmons rostered?
Yeah.
But he's done for the year. So, Dennis Schroeder promptly paid homage by going off tonight for 31 points, 8 dimes, and 5 triples. On 12 of
Oh, wow. I didn't
17.
see that.
Yeah. I needed to see that because I'm squeezing every ounce of Dennis Schroeder I can get right now. So yeah, even prior to that game, he was averaging 17.5 points, 8 dimes, 3.5 rebounds, 2.8 triples, 1.1 stocks. on 47% field goals and 64% free throws, 2.4 turnovers. So that's the cost of doing business, free throws, the turnovers. So yeah, it's just one of those things that I want to point him out. The silly award title is to highlight this, that there are these kind of like hot potato musical chairs veterans, these, you know, borderline rosterable players that kind of come on and off rosters all year. And sometimes, like, you know, Kelly Olynyk, for instance, when Poeltl went down, that was more obvious. It was kind of hard to know that Dennis Schroeder was just going to churn back the clock to his prime Atlanta days. Honestly, like, if you didn't get him anywhere, there's really no reason to kick yourself, because it's kind of shocking that his peak production this season just happens to match the 5-game week everyone was chasing. Like,
right.
It's pretty awesome. And I've been watching those games and here and there, and he just looks so happy. Like, he really does play with a joy. You can tell Dennis Schroeder loves ball. So shout out Dennis Schroeder. Also, one more shout out, Natron Clean, to your boy DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, who's also he needs
well
a
time.
Shout out.
Well timed week.
Yes. He's 24% rostered. It's up 13 in the past week. He's given us some prime DFS lines at the exact same time as the 5-game week. So shout out. Top 100 play the past week, chipping in across the board. We love us some Dorian Finney-Smith on this podcast, so it's nice to see.
Yes, sir.
That he is doing DFS stuff when the schedule fits the bill to pick him up. So 24% rostered, two more games this week, 3-3 fofo. Take a look, see if he's available, see if he would help your team, and don't hesitate because DFS is cool.
Yep. Amen to that. And not Thompson.
Nice. So yeah, I would say overall, useful exercise. It's for the reasons that we outlined, and it's all pretty interesting. You have more teams competing for the playoffs and the play-in. You don't have, it was a really good point by you, Nate, the draft is really, you know, being a weaker class, there's just not that same enticement to like churn up the heat on the tank. So that leads to, you know, some silly season helpers rather than real true heroes. But, and just also a cautionary tale, don't get too attached to this concept of silly season hero, because it's really more just a fun talking point to kind of sift through the weird part of the season. So don't think that, you know, some dude's going to come along and save your team. This is probably just going to help you a little bit.
Yeah, it's just found money, and it's, and there's nothing more exciting than your random stream like you've been doing all season. There's just this time of year, there's sometimes they can have a little 10% bump on them, and the stakes are a little bit higher. So we do love that, and good luck to anybody that's starting their fantasy playoffs this week, and we'll be back all through the fantasy playoffs and be kind of giving some advice and some nuggets in there, or maybe we'll be talking about completely nothing relevant at all.
Speaking of completely nothing relevant at all, before we get out of here, I did need, because we haven't gotten an update. Now, as you may know, as longtime listeners, Natron Clean, avid bowler, lives in Salem, Oregon, is on a bowling team that I hear out of, what is it, 18 teams, is currently in second place. So you got any updates? Can we hear about the bowling league? The shirts are beautiful. Any kind of funny anecdotes in the bowling world you can share with the people?
Yeah. So last season, we won the league, kind of came in as rookies, and kind of David Robinsons of that league. And this season, it's been a little hot and cold. First half of the season, so they divided it into two halves, just finished. And so the actual finals of the entire thing will be the winner of the first half of the season versus the winner of the second half of the season.
Oh my God.
We finished in second place for the first half. So it doesn't mean anything. Just consolation.
Means nothing for the second
prize.
Half now.
Means nothing. It means we start over at zero. It just means that we did a good job.
Wow.
It's just kind of an attaboy, but, you collect some like points and some money along the way, but it means that the season started today, but we had a pre-roll this week,
pre-rolls.
which in old person terms does not mean smoke a joint. It means, means you roll before everybody else. And so my phone has been blowing up. And so I apologize. I've been a little distracted because The league's been going on right now, and they had a captains only meeting, and the lanes are breaking. So a lot of drama in the Salem bowling community at the moment. So, but
did Tease hit you up about this pre roll?
Boy, Tease, you know it's I don't know if you watch that those Blazer broadcasts too much. They have and I've noticed that like. Not every NBA franchise has this, but you know, with NBA League Pass, I do love like being able to like hop in and out of different broadcasts. I don't know if you have some broadcast teams that were like, or that you love to listen to or hate to listen to. Is there anybody that stands out for that?
Yes. The Hornets are obviously fantastic. That guy just full of energy. I'm forgetting.
Yes, his name. And Del Curry's cool too.
Yeah. For some reason, they're really fun. Sean Elliott, as I mentioned before, is a blowhard, and but I still like to listen to Spurs podcasts for that reason. It was funny. I was listening to the Lakers stream on Lakers Kings last night. Just for whatever reason, the Kings broadcast, and unfortunately, Mark Jones is not doing the Kings home games this season. He had a guy who was rotating in for him. He's not bad. He's a poor man's Mark Jones. And then Katie Christensen does the color commentary. She's great.
I like her. Yeah, she's great.
She's really cool. So it wasn't coming in good. So we go to the Lakers broadcast. And it was funny because like they were a little less homer. There was something like they were on an offensive possession and they were being a little stagnant. And the guy was like, Lakers standing around on offense, and just didn't say anything for a while after that. And I was like, oh, cool. Like a little more clout to burn the team. But yeah. It's a fun feature.
Yeah, the only one I actively won't do is Miami Heat. I can't stand that broadcast team. And they do this like long thing where they just do a picture in picture and they just show the broadcast team like in a quarter of the picture. And I'm like, I just don't care to look at them while the game's going on. Like, show me the game here. But I only brought that up to say that the Blazers have brought on the last two seasons like an analytics guy, and I know a couple of their franchises did this too, and it can be pretty neat, you know. They kind of, it just is another wrinkle and another way to see the game. But the funny thing with these analytic guys is they're clearly employees of the team, and so they'll come on, and their whole objective is to show why these team, like why the players are where they're elite at. And so they'll show somebody and they'll be like, well, do you know that Jeremy Grant on Tuesdays when LeBron's not playing and it is a full moon is shooting in the 98th percentile for the whole season. And you're like, dang. Okay. And they'll run through like seven or eight of these. Like, you know, Tease is averaging seven steals when there's an election going on that day.
Oh,
you're like, oh my gosh, if they can just put all this stuff together, they're gonna go undefeated. But
it was interesting that they got, so the analytics guy for the Blazers, the main one is Tom Habistro, who used to work for ESPN, and I thought it was kind of an interesting get by them. Yeah, it's some of the stuff he comes on there with. It's nice that you kind of encapsulated it like that, because it reminds me of on Twitter in particular, they have these NBA accounts. And different, you know, fan bases are behind them, or sometimes they're just like big clickbait accounts, and they'll just like take out of context stuff for like a play, for since it's like Denny Abdia when he was on his little run, and they'll be like, the breakout is happening, and they'll put up his numbers, and like, you know, as fantasy people, and Josh Lloyd talks about this, we know that, okay, well, he's shooting 74% from the field and like, you know, 95% from the line this week, and like, we know that regression is coming. Like, because we're used to having to plan for regression and use, you know, this boom to try to sell high. And the smarter the league is, the harder it is. But like, these accounts are just looking for any chance to say, like, my guy has taken the leap. And it's like, we know that they're just on a hot streak most of the time.
It's given homerism a really useful tool.
Homerism. I definitely just pictured like Homer Simpson, you know. And well, now, I think at this point in the podcast, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Please remember that Projecting the Jump is a fantasy basketball podcast for the people. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review, share, and subscribe wherever you get this podcast. It really helps out. You can follow the podcast on Twitter. The handle is Projecting the Jump Pod, but it's P-R-O-J, short, the jump. And you can follow me, Flying J, at Quano Physics. Please remember to check out Steelbridge Coffee and what they got going on over there, of course, steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ. Check out the YouTube page. We have that up on our link tree now. So shout out Cheeseburger Andy Jokic. We appreciate you and glad that you got the wine and the KG rookie card from the Steelbridge page, actually. So the YouTube videos are really fun. That's always going to come out first because able to get that out a little bit quicker. So if you want to consume this first, I know some of you just do the YouTube thing and we really have fun with that. So get on the comments, keep engaging with us, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Appreciate all of you listening.
All right, cheers, Nate.
Bye, later.
Projecting the jump, projecting the jump, projecting the jump, projecting the jump. It's Nathan, Licky, and Jay. They're projecting the jump today. Will they guess right? Nobody knows. It's a pod.